So let's begin. Today we're going to discuss the idea of chametz. What is chametz? And why is it so bad? And we know halachically that it really, really is bad. I mean, we make it much, much worse than just regular non-kosher food. Can anyone prove to me of the extreme nature of chametz as opposed to regular non-kosher food, like a piece of pig, for example? Yes, Natasha?
There's a concept called batel b'shishim.
There is a concept called batel b'shishim. Please explain it to us.
Okay, so usually if 1/60th of something, but let's say you're having like a milk pot.
Right.
And 1/60th of a piece of meat falls in.
Right. You have a big pot of meat and a little bit of milk falls in. Yep. Right. If the amount of meat is a 60 times the amount of milk that fell in, although bas b'chalav, meat and milk cooked together, is an issa d'oraisa. However, what do we say? It's batel. It is kosher. Absolutely. Okay. That's going to be the shame. That's the shame with all non-kosher foods. We have this concept of nullified 1/60. You can't do that lachatchila. You can't create such a thing. But if it happens to fall in, we nullify, it is nullified. Very good. Okay, as opposed to? Right. Very, very good. So chametz is different. It's a lot more chamor. If even a crumb, as you said, a small amount falls into your dish on Pesach, not before Pesach, but on Pesach, it's not batel afilu be'elef, say the rabbis. Even one in a thousand. Some say that's just like an exaggeration. Meaning, as in, it's not even 1,000, mean that's ever. And some say, no, it literally means 1,000. Right? But most people say that it's not even, now that's only on Pesach itself. If some chametz falls into your food, which you're preparing for Pesach, before Pesach, then it is. Because chametz is not forbidden. Right? Chametz is not forbidden. What else? When a person eats some pig, yeah, Medically, if a person has to in order to survive, they could probably eat chametz as well. I mean, that's in that scenario. But what else is it? What's it in terms of the onesh? Right. You get karet for eating chametz on Pesach. But a person does not, Baruch Hashem, get karet for eating non-kosher food. Karet is spiritual excision, being cut off spiritually. Different opinions what it means. Some say, olech ariri, that's Rashi, that a person could chas v'shalom lose their children, or it means for themselves, they spiritually cut off from their original soul. But the good news with karet is, you get karet also for eating food on Yom Kippur. So it's obviously a very, very, very strict thing. However, it is teshuva abul, which is not a word, but it is now. All right? So we know this chametz stuff is really, really strict. Okay? And the problem is that it changes. You see, non-kosher food is non-kosher the entire year. And kosher with kosher the entire year. And suddenly we take this kosher food, which is great, which we used to do mitzvahs, a thing called chametz, and suddenly on Pesach, it becomes forbidden, totally forbidden. So it's a very, very difficult scenario that we've created, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is creating. We have to see why this would be. What is chametz that we give it so much emphasis and why it's so bad? So let's begin with a small piece of Rav Dessler from Michtav Eliyahu at the bottom of the page. And he starts with this, and we're going to end up with this idea as well. And he says, Zman Cheruseinu. I think we mentioned this in a previous class, but let's see it inside. What is the idea of the time of our freedom? Who? Ashpam Yocheda Shel Cherus. This is the special spiritual opportunity for freedom. Hanitanit L'chol Nefesh Li Yisrael B'Zmanahu, which is given to every single Jewish person at this time. There's a special door that's opened at this time, which is spiritual freedom. That's what we give you. We spoke about this, remember? The idea of the calendar, it goes around, it's a spiral. And the entire year is based around various stations and stops we get to. There is a stop called Pesach, which is called Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. Okay? That means that there's a special spiritual opportunity for freedom at this time, which may not be available, at least in this abundance, at any other time. Got it? Okay. Then he says, follow inside, Hazman hazeh, enu tarich, historic greater, l'chuk bo chagiga, simcha sha'avra. This is Pesach time. It's not just a commemoration, some historical event of something that's come from the past. Ella, Shmidei Shana B'Shana, Hinuzman Bo Musugalim. This Musugalim, he says, every single year, we go through the year, the Shana, we said, and it comes around. Anu, Lilchom, Leman, Cheirut Nafshenu. We're able to fight for the freedom of our soul. Okay, so that's what he says, that there is a special opportunity for freedom over here. Let's have a look at an interesting Gemara, which is going to tie in Chametz into this, and how that fits into our time of freedom, because it's going to be a very, very major part. You're going to spend the weeks before Pesach trying to get the Chametz out of your house. Okay. Says the Gemara in Brachot, and well, I brought down the Rashi as well. Follow inside. Rav Alexandri Basad de Masale, once he was praying, Amahachi Rabban Olamim, he said, Agarish Baruch Hu, Galuda Vanecha, it's been well known before you Hashem, Sherosanin La Sarosadacha, that it is our will to do your will, right? Sherosanin, our will, La Sarosadacha, to do your will. Umimaakev, and what's stopping us? What's stopping us being righteous people? What's stopping us being able to do Hashem's will? What's stopping us being what we're meant to become, spiritually great people? And he gives a very strange answer. So'or Shabi'isa, it is the dough, it is the leaven in the dough, the leaven, the yeast, that which leavens, which is in the dough. That's the problem, he said. What's holding us back from being great? The yeast that's in our dough. Okay, let's have a look what he's saying over here. Shavud Malchios, and this is the subjugation that we are under for non-Jewish nations. And then he made the tefillah. Here is all for Nechash, Tzadleinim, Biyadam. Hashem should save us from these other nations. Shashuv Lasoch HaKeros HaNechwa Lev Shalem. We should return to Hashem with a full heart. Says Rashi, So'or Shabisa. What is this? What is this yeast business? Yetzahara Shabilvavenu. This is the Yetzahara in our hearts. In our hearts. Hamachamitzenu. Which makes us chametz. How does a person become chametz? I mean, you could tell me that my bread, my pita, my challah becomes chametz, and suddenly this Gemara says, you know the problem? You know the real struggle in life is dealing with chametz. Is it that bad? I eat chametz all the time. And then Rashi comes along and he says, you know the real problem over here? There's chametz in our hearts. Now, I'm going to assume that's not a comment on cholesterol. Right? I don't know if he's talking about your physical heart, which is being blocked. And the obvious answer is because chametz and non-chametz can block our hearts as well. So this obviously is not talking about a heart condition. Yes.
It's about all year round.
So he's saying all year round.
No.
What we're doing right now is chametz is becoming a metaphor. A metaphor. It's a real thing. And we're going to see that it represents something. Something which is potentially good, but at this time of year, what time of year? Pesach time, what's that? Freedom time, you can't do it. So the weird thing is, and it's, I mean, we take it for granted now because every year we don't get rid of the chametz. But why? Why would this thing, which is kosher the entire time, suddenly become the worst thing up there with eating food on Yom Kippur? It's very, very unusual, right? So what's going on exactly? So Rashi is going to say that it represents a spiritual problem, which at Pesach time, which is Zman Charusenu, needs to be removed. So it's a physical item that needs to be removed. We know that. But as well as that, we're going to have to use that to get rid of what it represents as well. So let's follow inside, and let's have a look at the Sefer Chinuch, who does a nice essay on this, and let's try to understand this a little bit more, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Avraham Avinu, who we already mentioned, if you remember, eating matzah on Pesach. If you remember that famous Rashi we looked at and discussed. So let's try to understand. Let's have a look at the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch, does anyone, I mean, this is, those who have not been in one of my classes before, Sefer Chinuch is somewhere we always go to. Sefer Chinuch lived about 1,000 years ago. We're not sure who he was, actually. There's certain theories, but it's considered a Jewish classic nonetheless. But we know he wrote his book. He wrote his book, the Book of Education, Sefer Chinuch, because he had a young son, who kept asking him questions and saying, Abba, why do we have to fast Yom Kippur? Why do we have to give tzedakah? Why do we have to bring korbanot? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to fast Yom Kippur? And he's like, oh, his father says, you know what? I'm going to write you a book for your bar mitzvah. Isn't that nice? And he went through the entire Torah, the five books of Moses, and he divided it into Torah portions, which it was already divided, obviously. And each and every Torah portion, he gave the reason for that particular mitzvah. What he calls the Shoresh HaMitzvah, the root reason. The root reason. So he gave reason. Everyone said, so you get to Bereshit. There's not many mitzvot in Bereshit. Then you get to Shemot, and it's full, which is where we are over here, obviously, because we're discussing the Exodus from Egypt, which is in Shemot. And he goes through, and he basically divides it up, and you can buy this book in... It's in English now. Art Scroll just brought out a brand new one, like a number of volumes to go through and explain. And he's really just very nicely, neatly, almost talking to a child. He's explaining, but this considers to be a classic, and people study it right through their lives. So this is a considered to be a very, very important book in understanding the reason for mitzvot. And right now, we need that. I want to know the reason for a mitzvah. Right? We don't just do mitzvot, we aren't trying to say. Some mitzvot there's no reasons for, but Pesach there are. So he's going to try to help us understand the reason for getting rid of chametz. Is that fair? Sound good? Okay. So look inside, next page. Let's see what he has to say. So this is mitzvah 117 out of 613, right? Now, remember that although there's 613 mitzvah, one mitzvah, if you will, can encapsulate a number of mitzvahs. So Pesach has mitzvot aseh and lot aseh. Okay. Shabbat is the same. Shabbat, Pesach. So we're going to see a number of mitzvot will come under the title of Pesach. A lot. So what we're looking at right now is the los aseh. Right? Or it's actually an aseh, right? To remove all the chametz from your house. And there's another one saying you can't eat chametz. You can't any, right? You can't see it, you can't own it as well. So we're discussing all of that later on. But right now, if we figure out what to do, let's figure out why we're doing it, why we're so afraid of it. So he says, follow inside. Al Kain, this idea of separation from Chametz, Shunase B'Shaya Gedola, okay, which is considered to be this great, great thing. Right? He says, Yikach Dimion Liknos Midat Hazrizot. This is an analogy for the Mida, the character trait of Zrizot. What is Zrizot or Zrizos? What? Ah, so yeah, when you're a kid, well, when a person's young, like my kids, when they learn the letter Zion, they teach the word Zrizos. And they run around the house screaming, Zrizus, Zrizus, run, run, run. It may involve running, but not necessarily. The usual translation for this word they'll give you is alacrity. I have no idea what that word means. And I don't plan on looking it up. So Zrizut, I'm going to translate it. This is my own translation of it. So you can take it or leave it. And I'm going to go with the words being passionate about mitzvot, right? of acting passionately. I don't know if it's a great translation. But Zerizah says, I'm moving to get something done. I don't have to run in order to do it, you know? A person could move slowly. It's interesting, however, when we see this midah of Zerizah, I think for the first time in the Torah, the person involved is actually running. Does anyone know who exemplified this midah of Zrizut? Avram Avinu. Where do we see Avram Avinu? Right, he... Swiftness. Okay, so I don't know if swift is good because you can swiftly, I know the translation is alacrity, swiftness, that's all good, but it doesn't encapsulate the idea of Zrizus. Zrizus isn't just moving fast or something. You can go swiftly to something you're not meant to do. You can run swiftly to a football game. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so how do we... Right, what's a good... So I would say acting passionately towards a driven goal.
Act passionately towards making people sick.
Right, so we're saying towards mitzvahs, obviously. Yeah, got to put that in there. Absolutely. Okay? But just going and running and fast isn't good enough. He's moving. So Avram Avinu, right, we see what's he doing. He's running, maher, right? Ratz avravinu el abakar. He says to his wife, Mari, tase ugot quickly, make ugot. Make matzah. What's he rushing for? These angels weren't going anywhere, right? What's the big deal? Take it easy, go slow. So he understood that related to the idea of chesed is an idea that you've got to act with a passion, and sometimes that involves running. Why is he running now? He's running over there because his guests are starving hungry, as far as he's concerned, and they're thirsty, right? So he says, Yikach dim l'liknos midas ha-zrizut. This is all how to understand the idea of taking the equality of zrizut, and we'll see why that's such an important midah in relation over here as well. And by the way, interestingly enough, it was Pesach at that time, remember, when Avraham Avinu went to save his guests. So it happens to tie in quite nicely. So you got to act quickly when you're trying to do the Ratzon Hashem. You got to move and got to get the job done. What is the expression we use for this? Mitzvah baliado al tachmitzena. Mitzvah baliado, write it down. Mitzvah baliado. If the chance to do a mitzvah comes to your hand, and you get the opportunity to do a mitzvah, al tachmitzena. Don't let it become chametz. That's interesting. So they're now using the word chametz to represent the idea of not doing something. The opposite of zrizut. And what's even more interesting now, let's put this all together. We have chametz. And we have, what's the opposite? Matzot. So chametz represents the idea of, we're going to see, non-zrizus. We'll see why. And matzot represents the idea of mitzvah. And you can see the word matzot is mitzvot. It's the same word. Yes, yeah, sure. Mitzvah ba le yado al tach mi tsena. Mitzvah comes to your hand, you're able to do a mitzvah. Al tach, don't let that mitzvah become chametz. How can a mitzvah become chametz? So, can you read that? My teachers couldn't read my Hebrew writing. You can't read my Hebrew writing. Right? Don't let it become chametz. That means a mitzvah had to become chametz, so you let it sit and grow and don't get the job done. That is the opposite of matzah. How is matzah made?
Quickly.
Quickly. You've got to move fast because you need to make sure that. And what's interesting is within a minute or seconds, you can go from what's a kosher matzah to a piece of chametz. Extraordinary. It can take seconds. From the moment the water touches the flour, then we've been to a matzah factory, then moving fast. It's like the matzah, even the creation of it, is the idea of zrizus. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at these two ideas of zrizus, which we're going to see as a vital component for this particular holiday. And why you're bringing it over here into Pesach, we're going to have to see. And chametz, which represents the exact opposite, the sitting down and growing physically and not be mizarez. And he brings down the famous Mishnah from Pirkei Avot. So he says, K'moshe amru zichron levracha, as the rabbis tell us, have a kal kenesher, be as light as an eagle. The ratz kitzvi, and run like a deer, as swift as a deer. The gibor ka'ari, and strong as a lion. La sobra son of Ishmael, in order to do the will of Hashem. So he brings that down as, how do we achieve this? By having the midah of zerizus. This is an idea. This wasn't an exercise manual, right? And we're not going shopping for animals or in a zoo. The idea is that we're going to learn these traits in order to do it. Aye, so what's wrong with chametz? Look at the next source. This is the Pele Yoetz. And he says, mitzvah bo'or chametz. What's the idea of destroying the chametz? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to destroy it. It's a mitzvah to destroy it. We're going to look for it, and then we're going to destroy it. We're going to burn it. And if you can't burn it, we'll see alternative methods. But ideally, we're going to burn the chametz. Why? And he says, I'll tell you why. Because you want to burn et ruach hatmeh v'et yitzhara b'gabeinu. We want to burn the yitzhara inside us. That's what it's all about. See, when you get rid of the chametz, you're not spring cleaning. I mean, the fact that Pesach appears in spring is not a coincidence. It's actually a crucial part of the holiday, which we may discuss a little bit later. The Chodesh Aviv, we said. That's the whole reason we have the extra month of the year of Adar as we have this year, in order to make sure that Pesach falls in Chodesh Aviv in the springtime. Springtime does represent freedom. Right? The agricultural reality of everything going free is representative of this idea. That's why you have the Arab Spring. Everyone's going free. There's a reason why they don't go free in the summer. Seriously. Right? There's an idea of freedom that's in the air. It's not a coincidence that all these things occur at this time of year. Freedom is part of the structure of the world. It's pervasive in creation at this time. No one's going free in the winter. We don't stay in our homes. But springtime, that's why the Jewish people went free in Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime, yeah. So he says we want to remove the Yetzer from our insides. And that's why one is going to does introspection is good. So let's understand this. Let's go slow. When we clean the house of chametz, we're not just cleaning our house of chametz. What we're meant to be doing as well is cleaning our inner house of chametz as well. It just happens to be, as we're going to see very importantly, I mean, the big question you should have is, so just let me focus on the imaginary chametz, the Yetzirah, right? And I'll do spiritual work. Why do I have to start going crazy for weeks, you know, beforehand, as my wife? I know Pesach is coming because Purim is there, and my wife starts to freak out on Purim about Pesach, you know? So you know it's coming because everyone. So why do I have to go through all this? If this is true, if the chametz is just a metaphor, why can't we just do spiritual work? I don't know. Like Yom Kippur. We just don't do any of this stuff at Yom Kippur. Why can't we just do that? So there's going to be a very, very important answer to this in a moment. Yes? I can't understand you. Sure. Well, they should be, actually. They should be freaking out by Yom Kippur, but
but, like, 3 months before, like, I have to, like, make sure this is the same way we, everyone is so careful and crazy about cleaning. Like,
so I think you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You're right. We're physical beings, okay? And the Chinuch is going to answer this question in a very, very important way, which is actually going to be the real whole idea behind being Jewish. We're going to see the whole concept, all the mitzvot is going to be summarized in this Pesach. And it should be, because Pesach is really what it's all about, the creation of the Jewish nation, we already said. So you're right. We have the shofar, though. The shofar does the same. He talks about the shofar, and that does the same thing for Yom Kippur. Because at Yom Kippur time, you have to hear. But on Pesach, you got to clean. So the mitzvah attached to any holiday are there to help you get to an end goal. But what you said was actually very, very good, and we're going to come to it in a second. He's going to say it in his own very inimitable way. So why would chametz represent this idea of the Yetzara? Why are we connecting chametz to Yetzara? What is it about the chametz specifically? And he says, it's the Sefer Chinuch again, lefi shasor magbiatzmo, because chametz inflates. Right? You've seen dough, yeast and dough, what happens to the dough when you leave it? Those who made challah before it, grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it gets thick, and bigger, and fills up with air. Right, it fills up with air, like the bacteria, get it going, it fills itself up. So it represents arrogance. It represents gaiva. Okay? Which we're going to see is the key negative trait, and is the opposite of, what's gaiva the opposite of? Anivut, right. Humility. So now we're saying, we're tying this all together. We've got a lot of bits and pieces over here, like a big puzzle. Let's put them all together and try to make sense out of this. So we're saying that the Yetzer Hara can be kept for the Chametz. Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. Get rid of it, clear it out. Why Pesach, we're going to see. Why do I have to do it physically, we're going to see as well. But right now we're saying by clearing it out, you're actually, the Chametz, since it sits and grows, represents Gaiva, that particular trait. Gaiva is, I'm full of myself. Ego. Ego. It's all about me. I don't have to learn from anyone else. I know it all. You know those friends we have who like know it all. Any question you have, anything's all full of me. And I don't get involved. I'm too good for this. As opposed to humility, anivut, anivus, which is all about, it's not about me, it's about the other person. It's about the other. I have an obligation. I'm not the center of the universe. It's not all about me. So he says, the lachain, and that's why, nidrachaku. That's why I have to stay far, far away from this evil trait of ego, specifically on Pesach, which is freedom time. We're trying to get free of the ego. Lirmoz ki tovat Hashem kol gavav lev. And that is a hint to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, it says in Mishlei, Hashem hates arrogant people. That's what it says. That's what King Solomon says. Tovat Hashem, toev av Hashem kol gavav lev. People are full of themselves and know it all. Don't need any learning. And that's the worst thing. So just jump down to the bottom of page 12, if you don't mind. Actually, there's a nice piece over on note 6. It's in English, but it's a very nice piece. And he's going to tie in the idea of idolatry. And he says the essence of idolatry is that it takes something insignificant with no independent existence and inflates it, its importance out of proportion to its true value. Whether a person looks at a force of nature or a piece of wood and calls it God, or considers himself the ultimate reality, independent of God. So he's tying in the idea of atheism and Avodah Zarah into this, although they're not the same, obviously, but right? It is all idolatry. This idea is represented by Chametz, which basically is, I am inflated and I don't need anything else. It's all about me. Me, me, me. Yeah. Says Rav Hirsch on the bottom of the page. So we're going to tie together the idea, this idea of freedom now. And it says freedom, by which we mean deliverance from burdens and breaking of chains, is only a negative. So when you go free, you've got rid of a negative. It's not always a good thing. Right? I mean, look at Iraq. Right? They got free. We took away the dictator. So you would have thought everything is peaceful after that. Everything's fantastic. And the answer is no. Just because you've got rid of the burden and you're now free, it's free to do what? You still have complete chaos. The Jewish people went free from its rhyme, and afterwards they still complained. Actually, they wanted to go back to the slavery. So we have to figure that out as well, but we will in due course. He says, so freedom is merely a state in which the impediment standing in the way of fulfillment of the human vocation has been removed. It's just, you just remove the block, but you haven't done anything yet. So chametz is removing a block, but you're going to need matzah, as we'll see, that's going to represent something else, in order to fulfill it. So if chametz removes the gives us freedom, they have to act out upon it and take upon itself the good deeds. Right, that's the idea of the mitzvah. Right, that's the matzot, the mitzvot. Right? He says, in this vocation to be fulfilled, a person who has become liberated, has been freed from his burden, must acknowledge God. To him, he owes his liberation. And for us, we do, right? Hashem took us out, remember? What made us free? Hashem did. It wasn't people. We didn't fight our way out. We were taken out. The freed, unburdened person must accept his freedom from burdens and liberty is a gift from God. So we're all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that God himself took us free. Remember, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo seraph. Hashem said, I didn't send him angels, I did it myself. I took you out. So we have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem is the source of his freedom. And he feels connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before it. Okay. Turn over the page. So let's just focus on the word chayrut for a second. So let's tie it together. And we're doing a lot today, but let's try to make some sense of all these sources. So, once again, let's go slowly, because I know this is new information for most of you, although you've kept Pesach your entire life. Hopefully it won't be the same after this. So we're saying that chametz is the evil that represents the Yetzirah. It's inflated, full of itself, which represents the ego, which is the worst of traits. Right? And the best of traits is going to be humility, which, remember, is the only way Moshe Rabbeinu is described. The one description we have of Moshe Rabbeinu, the entire Torah, he was not called the smartest, he wasn't called the cleverest, he wasn't called the best speaker, he had a lisp. The best orator, he was one thing and one thing only, the humblest person who ever stepped foot on the earth. Right? Ish, and of Ishmaod. He was extremely humble. Right. So that's the key trait. So chametz represents the idea of the Yetzirah, specifically ego. We have a gratitude to Hashem for taking us out, and matzah is going to represent that. So we're going to tie that together now with the word for freedom, which is chirut, chirus, zman chirusenu. And we're going to see right now that the word chirusenu, chirus, also means another thing completely, which is seemingly unrelated, but we can see is related. And chayrus, which is freedom, also is charut, which is to engrave, yes. But engrave something specifically. There's a special engraving we're referring to. Let's have a look at a Mishnah Pirkei Avot, and let's try to tie this big puzzle together. Amar Rav Shua ben Levi, said Rav Shua ben Levi, V'omer, he says, V'aluchos ma'asei Elokim hema. The luchos were made from Hashem. Hashem gave us the first luchos. V'amichtav michtav Elokim hu, and the writing on them were the writing of Hashem. Who? Charut al luchot. They were, it's actually Charut al luchot. They were put onto the luchot. He says, "Al tikra charut el charut." He's saying, you know what? This word charut of engraved on the luchot. Because remember, on the Torah, we don't engrave; we write. It appears on the klaf, on the parchment. But the Ten Commandments were put inside. Inside, or cut into the stone. That's significant. There must be a reason why that was done that way. Why did it have to be carved and cut inside the stone? And the rest of the Torah was just put as writing on, right, in die. So what's this relationship between chayrut and charut, freedom and engraving? Follow carefully. So he says, she'en lacha ben chorin, this is the punchline, you don't have a ben chorin. What's a ben chorin? A free person. We say the end of Halach Ma'anya B'nei Chorin, we want to be free people, remember? Halach Ma'anya. She'en lecha ben chorin, because who is the true free person? Ella, Misha Oseg B'Talmud Torah, a person that learns Torah. That for us is how we represent freedom. So just getting rid of the slavery isn't enough. How do you get really free? By attaching yourself to Torah. And that's the relationship between charut and chayrut. There's no coincidence the word for engraving, i.e. the representation of Hashem cutting into us, the Torah, via the stone, also represents the idea of real freedom. How does a person really free themselves of what? Of the Yetzirah? Because there's no Egyptians enslaving us now. Well, not too many of them. She says, by being involved with Torah. Let's see what that means. Says Rav Friedland on this piece. So he says, "Ela chashim etzom chovshim." Those people who think they're really free, min a mitzvah, ena chashim klal, actually not free at all. Other rabbis, the exact opposite. Hem kvul chasamov, they're extremely chained, stuck. Kol echad mehem, who eved nirsa letavatav. They are all slaves to the Yetzirah and to the evil inclination, their bad traits. So we're redefining the idea of freedom. Freedom doesn't mean I'm free to do what the heck I want. That isn't free. That is a person who is enslaved. That person is still in Mitzrayim. That person is still enslaved to what? The Yetzara. What takes a person free? HaTorah hi raki. The Torah does it. Natenet as a chirut from Shilat Alatava. And that helps us by working on yourself, by learning Torah and acting through Torah, by performing the mitzvot. That is the real freedom. That allows a person through spiritual work to finally be free of all the negative traits and all the negative influences that are around them. And that's hard work. That's hard work. So it's not enough just to remove the chametz. Right? To go really free, you need to have the chirus as well. You've got to have the charut. You need to be involved in spiritual activities. That's, he is considering true freedom. And he says, Hamatzliach lishtachrer, a person who is successful in freeing themselves, the tavatav, umolach aleihem, and becomes a ruler over them, who are melech amiti. That person is a king. Or in your case, is a queen. Right? That's a great thing. Okay. Is the puzzle coming together a little bit? Mm-hmm. Is this new information for most of you? Yeah. Charut, Chirut, Yetzara, Chametz, Matzah, Mitzvah.
Question.
Yes.
It's on topic, but whatever.
Sure.
If he has such a problem with like Chametz during this time and like.
It's not just him, it's the Torah.
Torah.
Yeah.
Why is it just Pesach?
Right.
Why can't we?
Very, very good. But so Pesach, like, excellent. So Pesach is going to be the paradigm for it. In other words, you can say that about any holiday. If Hashem loves Teshuvah, why do we have Yom Kippur every day? The reason is that we'd all go completely crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's a good point. Certain times, that's the exact point, certain times are allotted in the year in order to help us achieve certain things. So we do need to go free of Pesach, of Chametz, right? But only once a year for that amount of time. Okay. Why that particular time? Because that's the time of our freedom, that's the creation of the Jewish nation. So that's the most important time. Right, we're going to be we're founding our people on this idea. But you cover the entire year. We have to eat, and we're human, and we have to. That doesn't prevent us the entire time. However, at some points, the idea is kind of shown to you. Make sense? So we're not saying that chametz is evil. During the year, it's a fine thing. We do well. Chalabim is a big mitzvah. We're saying at this time, when you're looking for true freedom to prepare you for Matan Torah coming 49 days later. It's a bad thing. Something about our neshamas and the time itself. Because we're saying it's the time that does it. Matzah a week before is irrelevant. Matzah a week after Pesach, irrelevant. It's the zman, the time itself creates the need for the matzah. It's all the zman cherus, it's the time of freedom. So it's the time of matzah, it's the time you've got to get rid of the chametz. Yeah? Which takes us back to our earlier question. So if it's so bad, let's just talk about it. Right, why do I have to start cleaning the house for real chametz? That's the question we were trying to address before. And he is going to give his reason for that, which I consider to be the best reason. And really, we're going to learn out all the other mitzvot. Because remember, matzah is going to represent all mitzvot. There's something about the matzah that's going to represent the entire idea of being Jewish. We are the matzah people. We're flat, crispy breads. I mean, that's really what we are. Although, by the way, that's a relatively new creation. Right. The original matzah, the Gemara said, can be even a tefach thick. Right? It doesn't have to be. This crispy bread, because people make it so much in advance, it needed a good shelf life. But actually, you can have a doughy matzah. I actually have a doughy matzah I buy from a certain individual in Brooklyn, and it's like a pita bread. I mean, not as tasty, but it does the job, actually. It blocks me up just as good as matzah does. Okay, turn over the page. So let's answer that question. So why do I have to really do it? If it's all just a metaphor, or I won't say just a metaphor, as soon as it just symbolizes something, which everyone talks about, I just got you a little selection. So why do we need to? So we're going to have a very, very famous treatise, idea from the Sefer Chinuch. And he says like this, and this is going to apply right through Torah, but he's going to learn it out from Pesach. And he says, follow inside, please, on page 15. Raulan lasos masim hamarim bar malak dula. It is fitting to do symbolic actions, which Pesach is going to be full of. We got loads of them. We're going to keep away the chametz. We're going to eat the matzah. We're going to lean. We're going to eat the eat the maror, which is going to represent something. We're going to eat the haroset, that represents something. So we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to drink 4 cups of wine. We're going to pour a 5th cup of wine. We'll see why that is as well. We're going to see, we're doing a lot of symbolic acts. So he's saying, it's a really good, important thing to do. Right? It's got to be that way. Why? Sha'aleinu babos shah that time. Mutocha ma'aseh, because through our actions, va'dimyon, and the symbols we put into it, shenachnu osim, that we do, nikba, follow inside, you have those like yellow penny things, everyone at Stern has, the highlighter pen thing there, this is a good thing to highlight, all this. Shenachnu osim, nikba b'nafshenu atar li'olam, when you do the action, it sticks in your soul forever. That's what he says. By doing an action, what you do is what you become. Now, this is very, very, very different, by the way, to, you know, psychology. They're like, you know what, let's talk about your mind. Let's talk about what you're thinking about. Let's fix that. And then everything else will be okay. And we actually say the exact opposite. I mean, say that's a good thing to do, by the way. But we're saying, if you change your actions, it changes your mind. It's the opposite way. By the way, now popular psychology, you know, this whole world of, positive psychology, talk about, they're all about this idea, right? If you want to be happy, do happy kind of stuff, you know? So they're kind of like saying this as well now, so it's not just us. But we've been saying for thousands of years, if you do something, it will affect you more than if you just start to think about it. And he's going to give extreme examples to this right now. And a person may say, and a person doesn't need to say, why does Hashem command us all these mitzvot? Why does Hashem command us of all these mitzvot? Pesach is going to be loads of mitzvot. Then we saw all the ones which are outside Pesach. We got tefillin, we got Shabbat, we got mezuzah, we got loads of mitzvot. Tens and tens of them, which are there to remember this one miracle of us leaving Mitzrayim. He says, one action, one thought is enough. We have to go through so much. Because wouldn't it be enough just to think about it once a year, and then it wouldn't be lost ever? That's enough, isn't it? Just think about it. Just one day, everyone gets together in shul, hold hands, and let's talk about and think about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That it could have been that way, but it's not. And he says, why not? And here is his key, very famous phrase. This is a classic, which is quoted endlessly. Da ki ha'adam nifal kafi pulatav. I'll translate those words. Ki adam, because a person, nifal, is influenced, kafi pulatav, according by their actions. Or according to their actions. We're affected and shaped by what we do and not by thoughts alone. We Jews are very thought. Happens to be that out of the 613 mitzvot, all of them except 6, involve action of some sort. To either do the aseh or the los aseh. Well, we're talking about specifically the aseh, actually. You've got to do something. There's 6 mitzvot, 6 tamidiyot, we'll talk about later on, possibly, that we do with our minds, right? Loving Hashem and fearing Hashem and not following our hearts and our minds. But otherwise, we're doing stuff, right? You've got to eat the matzah, you've got to walk into the sukkah, and you've got to build the sukkah if you have to. You've got to put on the tefillin, you've got to light the Friday night candles. It's always stuff, always doing stuff. He said, I'll tell you why. We're going to learn that from Pesach. Because you are influenced by what you do. Your actions affect who you are. Talk is cheap, but actions are not. And then he goes farther. He says, even a really bad person, the afilu rasha gamor. You can have a person who's really, really bad. If he says, you know what? I want to start doing good stuff. The other guy is really bad. You know what I'm saying? All he does is think all day, every day, about doing nasty, horrible things to people. He's like a really bad person. Such a person, however, says, you know what? I want to get better. This whole, I'm done with the mafia. I want to start doing good stuff. V'afilu shelo l'shem shemayim. And even if he does that stuff, not for good reasons. He does it because he wants other people to think he's a tzaddik. Right? He does it for ulterior motives. Right? He gives money to Yeshiva University because there's a name on the wall. By the way, we're okay with that, by the way. If you're interested, we'll tell you that's good enough. We don't examine reasons. We'll just take it. Right? He says, even l'shem shemayim. He's not doing it l'shem shemayim. He's doing it because he wants to be, you know, lauded by people. Miyad, immediately, Yinat El Atov. He's on his way to becoming a tzaddik. Extraordinary. Even with one action, gets you in there. And let's just finish off his concepts. Uvekoch Masav, and through the power of his actions, not his thoughts, but what he does, by what you do with your hands and your feet and your Yamit Yetzara, you're killing Yetzara. Ki acharei ha'pu'ulot, because after one's actions, Nimshachim halavavot, your heart is going to follow your actions. And it gives the opposite. Ve'afilu, his exact opposite. These are strong words. Im yadam tzadik gamo, a guy is really, 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 really big tzadik. Exact opposite to Rasha Gamor. Olavavo yasher v'tamim, and his heart, he's a good person. A nice person. All he does is talk and think about doing nice things to people. That's all he talks about. Right? Like the United Nations. All day, every day, let's do nice things. And it's talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And resolution after resolution, every day, I should be nice, should be good. The chafetz b'torah mitzvot, and they want to learn Torah and do mitzvot. That's their real desire. That's their desire. Im yasek tamid varm shel dofi, but if they get involved in doing stupid things, stupid actions, ki'ilu tamar derech mashal shechru ha-melech. This impurity, for example, he says, like a person's being forced to do it, right? Mumna Torah, eventually that person's going to become a bad person. You can think nice all day, but if you do bad things, you become bad. It's going to affect your kishkas and affect who you are. Be'emet, im kol haskot tamid kol yom ba'oto omenot, if he's involved in this all day, yeshuv l'zman min zmanim, skat libo liyot rasha gemor. And eventually, doing this stuff, hanging around these people and doing these things, will eventually take even the nicest person ever who only wants to do good stuff and make them into a bad person. Because it works both ways. If you're a terrible person, in your heart, you do good stuff, makes you a good person. And the exact opposite. And I'll tell you an interesting story, which I usually mention together with this idea of the Sefer Chinuch. And the story is of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was asked a question by a guy. I love the story. And the question was, I got a job in a bank, should I take it? People don't ask rabbis questions about kosher. Is this chicken kosher? Is that spoon kosher? You know? Should I take that job? So by the way, we'd stop the story right there, and that was Dayenu, you know what I'm saying? We've got a rabbis for big decisions. Okay. But anyway, so the Chofetz Chaim said to him, well, it depends. He said, it depends upon what? He says, it depends whether you have a job at the depositing side or the withdrawal side. Because in those days, you used to have separate windows. One for depositing your money, and one for withdrawing. It was two different people. Now we have the same thing. But it used to be, you would have one side of the bank, that was the withdrawal window, and one was the deposit window. And he said, what's the difference? When they deposit, I'm not stealing the money. And then when they withdraw the money, I'm not giving my money. Right? What's the big deal? So I say the difference. He says, if you work in the deposit window, what are you going to be doing? Taking money all day, every day. Truth is not your money, but the act will be taking money. But if you work in withdrawal window, you'll spend the entire day giving out money. You'll become a giver, even though it's not your money. Just the act of giving will make you into a giver. Shalosh Leim Shemayim. He's not giving it because he's giving tzedakah. Just the act itself makes you into who you are. So true. I also have that story in relation to this chenuch, because the chenuch is saying, it's not you're out there doing mitzvah, just your acts. If you help someone do something, it affects you in a massive way. If you just hold the elevator open for a second, I don't know. Those acts, you know, we are like, yeah, whatever, they affect us. They affect our being. And we Jews are obsessed with this. And into Pesach, we're going to have thrown in lots and lots of acts. For the weeks beforehand, and the holiday itself is going to involve a lot of physical action. All of this is a necessary and important component for self-improvement. We may not always get it, but it is happening. It is happening. And the eating, and the leaning, and the smelling, and the tasting, and the hearing, and the doing, and the walking, and the schlepping, and the... all one thing. It's all Adam is influence, kafi polatav, according to their actions. A person's nifal, kafi polatav. And he says, let's finish him off, let's get to this punchline. And with this idea in your mind, don't be, it should be difficult for you to understand why we have so many mitzvot, to remember the miracles of Egypt. It shouldn't affect you. You should, oh, I get it. It should become clear. Shehem Amud Gadol B'Torah Sinai, because they're a great pillar of our Torah, a great idea. Ki Barabos Asakenu Mehem Nisbael El Davar. Through this performance of mitzvot become a central feature of the entire Torah, that we become great through these actions. That's what he says. That's the punchline. Questions, thoughts, comments. We did a lot today. This class will be posted on YU Torah. You can listen to it again. Share it with your friends, parents, uncles, aunts when they complain about Pesach a little bit. It helps a little bit. Not a lot. It's not easy, but it does help. All right. Have a great, successful day. God willing, on Wednesday, we'll begin the next part. We'll start to go through the actual Pesach Seder itself, step by step, to figure out what's going on over there. Have a great day.